Loved ones, for this morning's meditation, I found and wish to read out of the first book of Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. First Samuel 17, beginning on verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Socho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul into the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and pressed himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their house, their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were he heard which David spake were rehearsed then before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail thee because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I wish to conclude reading with verse 40. Brothers and sisters and friends, we have before us a very familiar chapter to many of us, an account which many of us have known from our childhood age onwards. And yet I am persuaded that our God, the great God that we serve, is able to even take this familiar chapter and give us all something new to take away from this place of his house. In today's day and age, we all have different walks. We all have different struggles. We all have different trials and hardships which we may be called to endure or which we may find ourselves facing. And just as in this account which we have read, the well-known account of David and Goliath, sometimes even in our own lives, battles rage. And this account which we have read, which took place thousands of years ago, was recorded for us and is just as much relevant today for each and every one of us as it was so many years ago to those who perhaps even witnessed the account and told their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. You see, we may not have the same battles that David did in the physical sense, but we, even in this day and age, also do battle. and struggle with things. And I'm mindful of the words of Apostle Paul, even as he had penned in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 6, if I can find it here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we can read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, as David did here in this account, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, we each and every one of us have battles, have struggles, have perhaps contended with difficult questions in this life, struggled to maybe discern God's will in our life and how it directly translates into the actions that we should take or not take. Perhaps the way at times seems unclear or uncertain. But God will reveal to us, I'm persuaded this morning, how we are to approach and handle these situations, how we are to win these battles, and how we are to resolve those hardships and those struggles and those questions, those deep questions that we may have in our lives. You see, the answer or the resolution won't come from excellency of speech that we find maybe perhaps out there on the World Wide Web or outside of our circles. The answer won't come from listening to your heart and following it. No, our heart will only lead us astray, our physical heart. The answer also won't come from attaining a lifetime of knowledge, attaining multiple PhDs and being learned in the eyes of this world. The answers to our struggles and our questions will not be found in any of those things. Oh yes, we can amass a great amount of knowledge within our lifetime. I've read articles to the tune of the amount of data a human can ingest over the course of a lifetime being equated to about, I think it was 2.5 petabytes, if we're familiar with the memory terms that are used in computing, which is quite a bit of information. But despite all that information that we might be able to attain, we will not find the answers to our struggles and the answers to those questions we may ponder and the battles we may face. And so I'd like us to take a look at this 17th chapter of 1 Samuel in the light of the fact that our battles are quite different than physical ones, but each and every one of us has, or maybe do currently, is currently struggling with a battle and wrestling with something. So in this account which we have read, we read of the Philistines and the Israelites battling together in array. And we see them finding this valley between them, and so we see the Israelite army on one side of the valley and the Philistine army on the other. And that was probably a normal scene for battles back then. But something a little bit abnormal happened this time around, in the fact that the Philistines sent forth a single man before them, rather than the entire armies engaging in the conflict. And this man was none other than Goliath of Gath. And we can read a little bit about Goliath and how giant of a man he was. We can read in these verses that Goliath, in verse 4, it says his height was 6 cubits and a span. That might not mean much to some of us, but if we do a little bit of research, we can deduct that a cubit is approximately 18 inches in today's measurement system, and a span about 9 inches. And so that would make Goliath just shy of 10 feet tall, 9'9", according to my calculations. Now that's quite tall, considering that most of us, or the average, is maybe around 6 feet tall. I believe the tallest recorded NBA player, basketball player that played in the NBA was 7'7". And so Goliath was over 2 feet taller than even the tallest NBA player. And so what else do we know about Goliath? Yes, he was tall, but he was not just tall. It said he had a helmet on his head. Let's read about his coat of mail. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I also did some research on this long ago, and I believe it was 1,000 shekels weighed 25 pounds. And so his coat of mail was about 125 pounds, based on the calculations that I've done a while back. And to put that into perspective, a regular coat of mail that traditional or medieval in the medieval times was about 20 or 22 pounds. So his coat of mail was over five times heavier than the average coat of mail. He was girded with other sorts of armor and a shield, but it also gives us some details about his spear. His spear, the staff thereof, we're used to maybe a stick, right, with a small little spear tip on it. It says the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. So I don't think we're talking about a small little stick, but it was more like a beam, and it had to have been, because if we look at the weight of the actual spear head, it was 600 shekels. And so I would place that as around probably 15 pounds. Just for the spear tip. That's almost as heavy as 2 gallons of water, just for the tip of a spear. And imagine that on the end of a stick, trying to hold that. It would be a difficult task, probably, for us to even hold that up. And this was the spear which Goliath used to fight with. And so we know that Goliath was not just tall, but he was a mighty man. A giant of a man. And he stood before the host of Israel and wanted a champion from Israel to fight. And we can read that they were dismayed and sore afraid when they looked at this giant of a man. And this continued on for 40 days. Day after day after day, Goliath came out and challenged Israel. And day after day, the Israelites fled and were sore afraid. They saw this man, they saw his height, they saw his strength, and they thought within their minds, there's no way that he can be defeated. But then, as we can read, David comes into this picture. Not part of the army, but sent by his father to bring some corn and some cheese and bread to his brethren, and also to see how they're doing in the battle. As a concerned father, he likely wanted to know how his children were. And so David comes and brings it, and right away starts talking to some of the Israelites, but then finds out quickly that there is this giant that's been challenging him, the Israelites, to which they do not have an answer to. He also finds out that the king would reward whoever killed Goliath. We can read that his eldest brother Eliab was actually angry at David for asking these questions and for coming out. But David sees something different than the rest of the mighty men of Israel and even Saul himself, the king at the time. David saw something different than they did. And when David learned of the situation, he approached King Saul and he volunteered himself to go fight this giant named Goliath. And most of them, likely including King Saul himself, thought that this situation was still hopeless. Saul proceeded to arm David with his own armor and his sword, But young David, likely less than 20, I would probably pin him around maybe 17 years old at this time, because he was not originally in the army. If we read back in Numbers, we can read that men of 20 and older were chosen to serve in the army. And so David was not part of that. And even with Saul's armor on, he quickly realized that he had not proved these things, and he puts them off. And I can only imagine how King Saul felt after that, and perhaps those that were in his close quarters there that saw this transpire. And David laid that armor aside and went to a brook and simply collected 5 stones and had a sling and a little pouch on his side, and then drew near that Philistine. And when this happened, I know that was the end of our reading, but I believe most of us know how the story unfolds and ends, or the account, I should say. And I can only imagine how the children of Israel and how King Saul, what they must have been thinking, as David, without armor, without sword, without spear, without shield, approached this mighty man who had been taunting them for 40 days straight. I would imagine that some of them must have felt that this would be no contest, that this young boy has just entered into a battle which he could not win. But as I said earlier, David saw something different. Each and every one of the children of Israel and Saul himself saw a giant standing 9'9" with a huge spear, with a heavy shield, with a heavy coat of armor, and one who was well trained from his youth in war and in battle. But what David saw was that God had won this battle already for him, and that God had delivered Goliath into his hand. David did not see a giant. He did not see a mighty man of war. He saw a victory which God had placed in his hands. And so how is it that David was able to see this, and yet nobody else in Israel was able to see this? Well, the answer, quite simply put, can be found one chapter earlier, in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You see, when God had chosen another king to rule over Israel and rejected Saul, the Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. And so, naturally, Jesse put forth his eldest son first. And we can read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 these verses. We can read starting maybe, let's pick up with verse 16. And this is again Samuel at Jesse's house looking to anoint the next king by the Lord's leading. And it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab, which was the oldest, and Samuel said within himself, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So the Lord does not see things the way we do. The Lord does not think on the same level as we do. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. We cannot take our God and try and limit him or box him into our human mind and our human limited understanding. And so it continues, and it says, "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah the third pass, and that was not the king either. And so Jesse made his 7 sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel asked, Do you have any other sons? And Jesse says, Yes, I have my youngest keeping the sheep. And he went and brought him. And we can read in verse 12, and he sent for him and brought him in. Now, this is speaking of David. And he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So how was David able to see something differently than Saul and the rest of the mighty children of Israel? Well, he simply closed his eyes to human wisdom and understanding and allowed the Spirit to be his guide, to be his stay, and to allow him to see that God had placed the victory in his hands. You see, when we rely upon our own human wisdom and understanding, that's when we go astray. That's when we can't seem to see the picture clearly, and that's when things begin to seem obscure, and when we don't know the answers and can't find them. That's when we are in a struggle and in a battle and we don't know how we're going to get out. Or we have a trial and a temptation to which we can't see ourselves through it. We need to do as David did and look to the Spirit. And I'm mindful even of another scripture that Paul wrote even to the Corinthians, advising him of this same thing. And we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, actually, if we read even a few verses before this, we can read in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." And so if we want to know what God's will and plan is specifically for our lives, we must look to the Spirit. If we want to know how we're going to overcome a battle, we must look to the Spirit. We must close our eyes to our own human wisdom and understanding and look to God and His Spirit for direction, for guidance, for sustenance, for comfort, for whatever it may be that we struggle with, and for the relief that we seek and are looking for. It will not be found anywhere else. In fact, our own human wisdom and understanding might count it as foolish, even as we have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It will be foolish to our human wisdom and understanding. David going against this giant with a sling was foolish, according to human wisdom and understanding. But God is able to get us out of any situation in His way if we but rely on the Spirit and its understanding. That same Spirit that us who are of the household of faith are sealed with, and that same Spirit that stirs even those who are not yet sealed. See, our God is a God who does not change. And we serve the same God which David did serve. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We serve a God who delivered the Israelites from Egypt with a mighty hand. A God who parted a sea. We serve a God who stopped the mouths of lions. A God who made mighty cities to crumble. A God who sent His only begotten Son to heal the sick, to make the lame walk. A God who made the deaf to hear and the blind to see. One who sent His Son, who gave up His life for us and was able to take it back up again. This is the God whom we serve, and he is able to deliver us even out of each and every struggle and situation that we find ourselves in. But may we have the faith to look to him and his Spirit to see the true situation at hand. You see, sometimes if we rely on our own human wisdom and understanding, we will go astray, and we will not see the situation for what it truly is. Our human eyes and our human wisdom sometimes and most oftentimes don't see the whole picture and the clear picture. Even within this very room, there's an example of it. Within this very room, we can look at the windows right beside us, and we can see bright sunlight coming in through the windows on this beautiful day which God has created. And that sunlight to us, by the human eye, just looks white and does not really have a color to it. But if we've studied what the sun emanates, we know that is not strictly just white light that the sun emanates. There is also a wide variety of other spectrums of light that the sun emits. And if we pass sunlight through a prism, we can see the beautiful spectrum of colors that emanate from the sun's rays, which we cannot see without the help of something like a prism. The sun also emanates ultraviolet light, infrared light, also, which are not visible to the human eye. And so it is even with the spiritual things. We need the help of God's Spirit, the Spirit that knows the deep things of God, to show us those things which we cannot see with our own eyes and with our own human understanding. So it is my prayer that we can look to the Spirit, or that we would look to the Spirit for guidance, for direction, for sustenance, for the answers that we seek, and for the struggles that we might find ourselves in. Because our God is a God who delivered in the past and who will deliver today to those that call upon him. For our God is abundantly able to save. Our God is a mighty God, and he will show us the way if we rely on the Spirit. So may we do so. May we close our eyes and lay aside human wisdom and understanding and look to his Spirit to provide us with all that we need. Amen.
We're so thankful that we heard the truth of the Word of God, that the battle is not ours, but the battle is the Lord's. And when we rely upon him, we will be victorious by his grace. David recognized that as a very young man. He didn't need much experience. He didn't need to live a long life, but he came to know this knowledge as a very young man. David says, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." David had faith. David trusted in the Lord. Not in himself, not in the armies of Israel, but he trusted in the Lord. Further in the reading where we stopped a little earlier, and then later it says that David spoke to Goliath, and he says, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord." And that's how we fight our battles, when we go forth in the name of the Lord, not upon our own wisdom, not upon the network that we've developed, not upon our experiences, but in the name of the Lord, we will be victorious as David was. And then David further says that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. It's not ours. And as Brother Simon mentioned, there are struggles that we have, and they're big struggles. And it's not the struggles like, oh, we got a flat tire on the way to work on a Monday morning. That's not the struggles of life. The struggles of life are severe. We are engaged in a battle. We have an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy us. And we can't win against Satan. But we go forth in the name of the Lord. We rely upon the Spirit and come to this knowledge that the Apostle Paul came to. He had all this knowledge, and he was so zealous, but he didn't do it in the name of the Lord. He went about it on his own wisdom, and he counted all that but done. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we have to come to that point, whether we are very young in years, as David was, or whether we've gone through life, and know that when we are engaged in these severe battles with the enemy of our souls, that we go forth in the name of the Lord and know that with Christ all things are possible. Amen.